This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Mom, Dad, I'm not throwing shade, but the whole New Year's resolution thing, kind of slipping, no offense. Anyway, my best friend Jenny's dad, crushing it. He uses Blue Apron. He says he ordered one pan assemble and bake meals and these things called meal kits. They're all super easy to make. He keeps yelling, protein and fiber, baby. Also, the food, we tried it. So good. So maybe you check it out or whatever. Blue Apron. Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Coming up in 10 minutes, we're going to be joined by Aaron Borgman, former NFL trainer for the Chiefs and the Eagles, spent 12 years in the NFL. Give us some expertise on the Patrick Mahomes ACL injury. What's the timeline? The questions that everybody has. Is he going to be ready by blank week? What's realistic? When is he going to feel like himself again? All these kind of things. Does surgery happen this week? Does it happen weeks from now? Re-injury risk. You name it, we're going to get into it with Aaron Borgman here in a little bit. You guys can text into the show, 913-586-7965. There's no other way to put it. Obviously, a crappy day in Kansas City.
Yep.
Playoffs officially out of the picture. We've all were mentally preparing for that for a couple weeks. That's one thing. And then, of course, it gets compounded in the biggest way possible with Patrick Mahomes suffering a season-ending injury, and one that absolutely could impact next season one way or the other. He's going to play, but what impact will it have? And that's the frustrating part. The other part, Cody, is normally, like you say, who cares how the final three games go in this part? But I do think how Gardner Minshew plays is going to impact next season. You might be saying, why? Look, if Patrick Mahomes has any timeline that has week one in jeopardy, and we're not saying he can't be ready week one, but nobody can definitively say he is going to be ready week one.
No.
So the Chiefs have to approach the offseason looking at backup quarterback differently than they have in the past. And Gardner Minshew, having been here for a year, he would be in the driver's seat, you would imagine, to have that opportunity. So what does he look like in the final 3 weeks? Actually does matter to me. If he looks like crap, well, then I will say, wow, they got to go find somebody else that's capable of getting a couple wins to start next season. If he looks great, I'll say, all right, well, he's your backup plan if Patrick Mahomes is not ready for the first few weeks next year.
Boy, it's tough because I'm probably fine.
Yep.
If it's Gardner Minshew, I think. But if he looks like ass the rest of the way, oh, nope. I'm going to want to go ahead and figure that out in a hurry. I'm gonna go ahead and ask for Jameis or somebody else on the street in a hurry. Well, Jameis is just fun. So, like, the problem with Jameis is, I get both, a backup similar to that of Gardner Minshew. I would argue a better career overall than Gardner Minshew, but a similar capable backup and fun. You know, so at least if I'm going to have to watch four games without it.
Now, since he's got to hold on to him in case Joe Burrow decides to quit football this offseason.
Look, I'm looking for an improvement off of that. But here's the truth. Otherwise, that is going to be open season. You're going to be asking the Joe Flaccos, Jimmy Garoppolos, whoever of the world to come in here and give you a realistic chance of looking to start. Look, Gardner Minshew is probably some of the 5 to 7 best choices you could make. And I would say two of the other guys I just mentioned, Jimmy Garoppolo, Mitchell Trubisky. I mean, these are the names, guys who have started in the NFL. Trubisky knows Matt Nagy's system, knows Andy Reid's system because they ran a similar one. It's going to be open season as far as I'm concerned. All I am looking for is a quarterback who can handle a month. Because I don't think, and we'll ask Aaron Borgman coming up in a couple of minutes, it'll be much longer than that if he's not available to go week one of the regular season. But I do think you got to put more investment in it than you have before. This goes back to the running game too, though. You got to be a different offense for the first month. You got to find a guy who can go play action pass and hand it off to a back multiple times and be a run first team. You got to be willing to be something you haven't been. Fine. Gardner Minshew looks good. He can have the job.
It's weird. I want him to look good because it gives you some confidence if, in fact, he has to play a game or two next year or whatever because Mahomes isn't ready. At the same time, I think we're all in agreement, though. The best thing for the future of the franchise is to lose out and get a top 12 pick in the NFL draft. Yeah.
And in a weird way, by the way, somebody asked Jacoby Brissett. He might be the best option. At least he, like, every time he comes in to start, at least
he'll be another year older. You know, I mean, like, how old's Brissett?
Look, and he doesn't win. He's 1-8.
He's 33.
He's 1-8 this season, but he has 18 touchdowns to 6 interceptions and 2,700 yards passing.
Yeah.
You could do a lot worse than Jacoby Brissett. He'd be another guy I'd put on the list.
Oh, there's a long list. I'm just saying, if Minshew looks serviceable, why would I bring in somebody else at that point in time when he already knows the offense? And again, this is where the timeline matters. If they get into February and March and they feel confident that Mahomes will be ready by October 1 or week 1, then it's different versus if you think that it's going to be a much longer road to recovery.
The problem is the last time Gardner Minshew started was 2024, at least Brissett. That's 2 years, not that long, but Brissett started this year. Like, I like people to start recently as possible. And Gardner Minshew, in those games he started for the Raiders, was averaging less yards per game, less touchdowns per game than some of these other guys I'm mentioning. That's all. And he was on the Raiders.
He was also on the Raiders, yes.
So,
did you just watch yesterday what Kenny Pickett looked like against the Eagles?
My goodness. Pretty bleak. Pretty bleak over there in the Raiders. They're the worst team.
Look, and I know we'll have all offseason. I'm just saying that's something that I will be watching in the final 3 weeks because there's not much else to obviously in terms of playoff stuff. So when you look at Gardner Minshew, his performance will give me some confidence one way or the other that they need to go in a certain direction if Mahomes were to miss multiple games.
It's obviously just because he's like made a couple of like kneel downs or whatever. Gardner Minshew's actually attempted 5 passes this year. Do you know what his average yards per attempt are?
I know he threw an interception yesterday.
Sure. It's just funny because it's only 5 attempts. And his 5 attempts this year, he's averaging negative 4.6 yards per attempt. So his passes average 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage. The one yesterday was like 15 yards down the field. Where the hell was he throwing the other 4 passes? Look, I'll be honest. I am not optimistic Gardner Minshew is going to look good in these final 3 games. Especially because he'll be doing it behind a backup offensive line. He's not even set up for success, man. I didn't think Jawan Taylor was coming back before yesterday. Do you think I think he's coming back now? Jawan Taylor's already done.
He's already played his last game in a Chiefs uniform.
Yeah, he's not coming back this year. I was already skeptical of it. And Jalen Moore, where's he going to be? Will he be back on the field? Like, you know, like that injury. I know he was back on the field, but like, you know, does it hurt a little bit more during the week? And all of a sudden he had to do it? Like, what are his options going to look like? Look, you're right. If Gardner Minshew looks capable, I think it's a fairly easy decision. And I think if you get to February and Patrick Mahomes is ahead of schedule, on schedule, whatever, maybe you don't have to think about it that way. But there is a portion of it, Gold, that you got to be at least a little bit worried about where they're going to do. And look, yesterday sucked. You're sitting there. The second he went down, everybody knew it was different. The way he reacted, the way he stood up. It felt like when he got his knee injured after that QB sneak, and it was never the same. And look, I don't know. I don't know how Andy's going to handle it now because the last time his quarterback got hurt, running, he just eliminated a play. Is he going to try to keep Patrick Mahomes in the pocket, limit those things, or is this just a cost of doing football business, you know? Because that can always be a question, Gold. And yesterday was a pretty bleak time because I think, as you had said to open the show, we had both accepted that they were not making the playoffs. I had come to terms with that in a lot of ways. Where I wasn't, I was mad still that the season went sideways, but not trying to figure out which version of it went. But I was not ready for that injury, Gold, and that's the inevitable issue. I was not prepared for that, and I know you were not prepared for that either, I assume. And that runs us into, multiple issues where, what are we going to do here where, and how long it's going to take to recover and kind of everything else in between. So just a brutal way to go about it and kind of stuck in no man's land in a lot of ways.
All right, we're going to...
We're going to be joined by Aaron Borgman now to find out a little bit more on the medical side of things instead of the speculation on social media and stuff. Let's talk to somebody that's been on the NFL sideline, was the Chiefs and Eagles trainer for 12 years in the NFL. Aaron Borgman from Borgman Rehab Solutions, kind enough to call in. Sorry about the phone issues there. We appreciate you, man. I just want to start with your reaction. You saw the injury. Obviously, now we know it's officially a torn ACL. What exactly, I guess, happened on that play?
Well, yeah, thanks, first of all, guys, for having me on. Listen, I think, you know, for those of us that have been around this a lot, we all kind of suspected right away. We saw the hyperextension. We saw the little rotary movement, the little pivot shift in his knee, and we knew it probably wasn't good. Obviously, publicly, we're just waiting now to see the full extent of the damage if we even get that information as public. We know that this person's going to have surgery. It'll just depend upon to the extent that he's having said surgery, right? And that'll dictate kind of the recovery time.
So we hear torn ACL, but you're saying the unknown part that we don't know publicly, at least, and maybe they don't know yet, is there other damage, right? That would change this timeline?
Yeah, so first of all, I kind of put something out last night. You know, the practice facility down there at Arrowhead has an MRI, and so a lot of people were wondering when the team would find out the information. I can guarantee you with 100% accuracy that the team knew exactly the amount of damage before the stadium was even cleared. And that's just kind of how those things go. That being said, depending upon the level of other damage, yeah, I mean, you could see a slight shift in the timeline, depending upon if it's standard ACL repair, if there's other things that have to be fixed, like a meniscus or other ligamentous structures. But we may not even ever get that information as public. And I think what we'll see is more that the rehab and how well he's doing will dictate kind of that situation as to what he had repaired, if we ever get that information at all.
I know the swelling and stuff can make an impact on this. What's the soonest you think that Patrick Mahomes could like have surgery?
Well, it's interesting that you say that because, you know, there's a lot of speculation out there. You know, sometimes, you know, if it's you or I, we're probably waiting a couple weeks, right? You know, swelling does have an impact, but here's the weird thing about it. Not everybody swells a whole lot. Some people swell like a watermelon, right? Some people don't, no matter what level of damage that they have. I've seen people have surgery the same week up to, you know, the next day, days after. I've seen people wait 2 to 3 weeks. Now, this is obviously a special situation. This isn't just somebody off the street like you or I. So I have a feeling it's going to be on the sooner side of things. You know, based upon how I know that the organization works and how things like that go. But you could really listen. I think it's going to be sooner than what everybody thinks.
We're talking to Aaron Borgman, former NFL trainer, here with us on Cody and Gold. So what is the potential timeline here? As you can imagine, that's the number one conversation and text line question that we get. Next season, Patrick Mahomes, he will be available, right?
Yeah, so I was just point blank asked this question on X this morning. And somebody threw out a couple of different options, be it start the season, be a couple of games in, or miss the season altogether. And my answer is this. We don't know right now. But if I was going to put weight on two possibilities, I think starting the season or waiting a short time in, you know, a couple of games, PUP situation, I think those are the two most likely possibilities. I personally, this is my opinion, I don't talk to Patrick. I'm not taking care of him. I don't believe that missing the entire season is even close to an option.
When you look at like the, and yeah, I agree with you, I guess, at least in that sense. When you talk about his mobility and stuff though, what's the, for a quarterback, right? We talk about how long it takes players to like come back from the injury. We talked about this with Rashee Rice versus have your same level of explosiveness, considering he's not a running back or a wide receiver defensive end. How long do you think it would take from a recovery standpoint to be back to the normal amount of mobility as it relates to an injury like that?
Yeah, so I had this question this morning with another group, and I think most people who are in our business will tell you that they don't worry about position-specific stuff like that till the very end, right? We worry about the simple things first, getting your range of motion back, getting your strength back, becoming, you know, just a better overall athlete in the short term and in the broad sense. And then at the very end, right? Then you start worrying about more position specific stuff, because that's what matters to this individual. Now, obviously, they're going to rehab him a little bit differently than a wide receiver or a cornerback or an offensive lineman, things of that nature. And he is one of the more dynamic players for his position. We know that. The only caution that I have anytime you have a front-sided injury in a throwing athlete is that they do have to push off of that and pivot off of that leg a lot more than a rear-sided injury, a pivot leg versus a post leg, as I call it, with my quarterbacks. But that being said, I think that is, you know, a small consideration in the grand scheme of things. Guys, I'm just going to be honest with you. I'll put it out there. I think he's going to be just fine.
What about the re-injury risk, Aaron? You know, whether it's the same knee, I guess, whether it's, you know, how it can impact the other knee, I guess. What's the reality with that?
Yeah, so there's a lot of studies out there that talk about opposite side injury. And that risk is real, right? But guess what? You and I have the same risk if we tear something or hurt something that we're going to do it. You know, these guys are such finely tuned athletes. I really don't believe we're talking about small percentages here. And yes, while that is clinically and statistically significant, to this point, we really don't see it as much as people make it out to be anymore as what we used to back when, you know, I was first coming into the profession. I think we've gotten way, way better at rehabbing. I think we understand that there's that opposite side risk. Is it always going to be a risk? Yeah, for a couple years, for sure. But every time you take a snap and every time you work out and everything like that, it all goes down incrementally. So is there risk? Yes. Is it that big of a risk? Probably not.
Felt like the broadcast was talking a lot about the knee injury going into the game. You obviously didn't know what kind of knee injury he was dealing with, but do you think that whatever he was, seeing how it was a knee injury to that same knee, do you think that they could have known that there was a risk that this injury was more or less likely to happen going into it? Look, I don't think you could have kept Mahomes off the field, but was there a chance that the fact that he's already been running around and dealing with a knee problem contributed to this?
I'm going to be bluntly honest with you. I don't think that had any impact whatsoever.
Okay. And I guess in what ways, like, is it hard to know, like, when a player is dealing with one injury that it's not, like, how often are those conversations, I guess, taking place? Hey, you're more likely to get injured or have this kind of injury if you're playing with it.
Yeah, I mean, I hear all that, but here's the thing. We can't actually protect anybody's knee from the amount of force that it takes to tear an ACL. Braces can help mitigate that kind of thing. And so, you know, if this person or any person had any kind of detrimental injury to where there was any kind of risk, well, then they're deemed not safe to play to begin with, right? That's our job as NFL sideline medical personnel. We decide if people are safe to play on any given injury. So if that was even a consideration, then I would say he wouldn't have been out there in the first place.
Aaron, really great insight, man. I appreciate you calling in and educating us a little bit about where things are at with ACL injuries moving forward.
Yeah, man. Happy to be a resource moving forward. Thanks so much for having me.
There you go. That's Aaron Borgman, former Chiefs and Eagles trainer, spent 12 years in the league now with Borgman Rehab Solutions. Does that make you feel a little bit better about the long-term aspect here?
I mean, he's just like, I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, like, does that make you feel better about, for anybody that's worried that Patrick Mahomes not being Patrick Mahomes ever again kind of thing? Hopefully that eases some of that. The timeline, though, you heard what he said. Like, he said, nobody knows for sure yet, but he would lean towards week one or a few games in to the season right now.
Look, there's been plenty of times this has happened here recently. Tom Brady, Daniel Jones, Kyler Murray, Joe Burrow. These are just some of the quarterbacks in the last, you know, handful of years who have torn their ACL. And the problem is like, I can find you some guys that didn't play well when they returned from it. But most of those guys, I would say gold or quarterbacks that I didn't think were all that good, were at the end of their career anyway. Like Carson Wentz wasn't very good coming back from his torn ACL. Well, was he ever really good? Like, Joe Burrow is good, came back, played great, went to the Super Bowl that year, obviously, and played really well. Tom Brady, the year he returned, came back, played great, didn't win the Super Bowl that year, but immediately week one was right back to the normal Tom Brady. Now, his injury happened later. I think Joe Burrow is probably the best example. It was, you go back to 2020, so it wasn't that long ago. He was younger than Patrick Mahomes, but, you know, of a high-quality quarterback play. His injury took place maybe a month-ish, week 11 versus 14, so a month-ish ahead of there, and he was able to come back and play. And so it just depends. Now, Kyler Murray, he tore his. He's a more running quarterback. He tore his in December and missed 11 months. So it just depends on what's happening with the injury and the explosiveness. But when I listen to Aaron Borgman, I don't get worried that he's not going to return to the field next year. Of course, I guess I never thought that was a real possibility. I always thought he'd play football next year. The question was how much.
Yeah, is he ready in early September or is it October? And that's three or four games. And if we look at this team without having a full offseason yet, and we think that there's some adjustments coming and roster turnover coming and that they may not be a true contender next year and they're fighting for a wild card spot, well, then that can be the difference. You know, and that'll be the ongoing discussion for the next 7 months. It sucks that we're already having that here on December 15th, but that's the reality of where the 2025 Chiefs season has ended.
I think you're going to have to adjust your policy on the mock draft sounder. I feel like it's coming.
2026?
A lot sooner 2026 at this rate.
Look, with the holidays and stuff, we have a full week of shows this week, and then it's basically the holidays, and then we're in 2026. So I think we can make it to 2026.
You don't want one now that they're eliminated officially with their positioning?
Not today. Feels crass today.
Well, I'm not going to say today.
I don't want
today.
A mock draft sounder today.
This week?
That's what I'm saying. The possibility's there.
This is a small programming note, but obviously today we probably would have discussed Isaac Collins.
Yeah, Royals made a big
Nick
trade.
Mm-hmm. Mears. Mm-hmm. We would have probably talked about the game Kansas had this weekend with less likely than Darren Peterson stepping up. We'll get to some of those things tomorrow. Turns out when the season ends and the star quarterback gets hurt, that takes precedent.
All right, let's get to it, Drew. All right. We just had a conversation last week how Drew, you bought this device to not use your phone during certain times, like a lockbox kind of thing or whatever. Okay, so this is from androidheadlines.com. Okay, didn't know that existed, but sure, makes a lot of sense. That there's a new study about phone addiction, right? And phone addiction surged 461% as a new survey revealed. You know, people would rather give up caffeine or showering than go a week without their phone, including people in this survey said they would rather lick a sidewalk than go a week without their phones. Yes, this is a real study that took place. Nomophobia. Nomophobia is a real thing. It's tied to anxiety disorder and phones and people's inability to get away from them. It says the average American check their phones 262 times a day, basically once every 5.5 minutes. Oh, but I want to go back to the sidewalk part. Now, first of all, which sidewalk?
Wait, like you've got sidewalk preference?
Well,
just one out here.
Yeah, so like
the Odyssey sidewalk.
You would agree.
Right in front, everyone walks through.
You would agree if I told you had to lick a sidewalk. There's a difference between licking a sidewalk on the Strip of Las Vegas and just on Metcalf here in Shawnee Mission Parkway. I don't know about you. If there was a bet, or in this case, we're talking about not using your phone. Okay, I will not use my phone for an hour instead of licking a sidewalk. But if you're telling me that there was money on the line and what it would take and all that, licking the sidewalk in Overland Park or in Kansas City is different than licking the sidewalk on the Strip in Las Vegas or the streets in New York City.
Oh, I see.
It's a little bit different.
So if we're walking down
I might get every disease licking a sidewalk in Vegas.
Yeah, you just walk in Fremont Street and hit a sidewalk. You're saying that's a no for you?
Yes.
But the Odyssey walkway
on the
way in.
There's needles on the ground. There's poop
on the ground.
How long
do I have to give up my phone for again?
This year said people would rather. Yeah, just no phone for a week.
So like a week.
Now, with our job, it'd be difficult not to have a phone for a week, I would admit.
If it was a week in which I wasn't working, I'll give up the phone.
It's a lot easier, yeah.
But if it's a week in which I am working, I got to lick the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Because you do need it for some things. Small things even, though. Like, when you have kids, what if the school nurse calls you or some other thing? You know, like, there's just... You got to be able to be in contact
in some way. Just give them the hotline number. I don't know. Something like that.
Just give them the hotline number. So I call the hotline and let Drew know that my kid's sick in the nurse's office.
Licking a sidewalk.
I agree with you,
Cody,
though.
You ever lick a sidewalk, Drew?
No.
Okay.
But I agree to Cody's point of, look, if I'm on vacation, 100%, this is not a difficult thing to do. I normally try to do that anyways.
Someone said, what about licking Bourbon Street? Yeah, put that on the list. Can't do it.
I'm
you won't wake up the next morning.
Is that worse than Vegas?
You'll die instantly, I think.
Is that worse than Fremont? I think it is.
Yes.
I think
they hose down. Maybe they do this in Fremont. They hose down Bourbon Street every night and because it's that disgusting.
It smells like pee. So what do you think the sidewalks taste like?
Yeah.
It actively, in the air, has an aroma of a bodily function. You're trying to tell me that, no, you die. I think you might die.
You're going to, like, your tongue will just fall off, actually, is what I've heard, you know?
But just like a run-of-the-mill.
Right? Just falls off, actually.
Run-of-the-mill neighborhood sidewalk.
It's fine. It's like, that is the trash of the day. Someone said I should have done the dirty plays from the Chargers as the trash of the day. Oh, well, what's his name got kicked out of the game. There was definitely some dirty hits. But you know what? So we can have a deeper discussion on this during the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Yes, dirty plays for sure, but it was also a sign of what has happened time and time again this year. I want to actually dive deeper into this coming up next right here on Code.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mom, Dad, I'm not throwing shade, but the whole New Year's resolution thing, kind of slipping, no offense. Anyway, my best friend Jenny's dad, crushing it. He uses Blue Apron. He says he ordered one pan assemble and bake meals and these things called meal kits. They're all super easy to make. He keeps yelling, protein and fiber, baby. Also, the food, we tried it. So good. So maybe you check it out or whatever. Blue Apron. Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Being gold.
Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net.
Coming up in about 25 minutes, we will head out to Arrowhead and hear from Andy Reid, exclusively here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. He, of course, will be asked a lot more about Patrick Mahomes. Now, since he last spoke, the team officially, of course, announced the torn ACL for Patrick Mahomes, so he's not going to have every answer on timeline and stuff, but he's going to be asked about that, going to be asked about Gardner Minshew, going to be asked about how he handles the rest of the season. I'm sure he's going to be asked, Cody, is he going to try to play some of these younger players more down the stretch? And you and I both hope that's the case, in particular, Breshard Smith.
Fingers
so,
crossed.
Andy Reid coming up in about 25 minutes. We weren't planning on talking about it, but I thought that text was interesting. The person was joking during the trash of the day about, hey, it should be the Chargers and how dirty they were and all that. And I agree.
They played very dirty in that game.
But, so, totally agree. Totally. This was Jefferson, right? That got tossed from the game? Jefferson?
Yeah. And Derwin hit, like, even on the one that got the clean hit on Rice. No, it was helmet to helmet.
But I want to have the real conversation. What that text reminded me of, I'm not saying they got to be dirty. However, the Chargers were another team, a long list of teams this year, and it happened towards the end of last season, definitely in the Super Bowl. Teams are able to bully the Chiefs.
Yeah.
They're in. Physically, they're able to bully the Chiefs. And so I don't know if that's a product of the 80-plus games the Chiefs have played over the last 4 years, I guess it would be, or whatever.
They're just worn out.
Are they just worn out and mentally exhausted? But teams have, this is not a new conversation, but the teams have bullied them. The Chargers bullied the Chiefs yesterday after the Chiefs got a lead. You can say it was dirty, sure, but they took it to the Kansas City Chiefs.
I agree with the sentiment that is teams absolutely try to bully them. Now, last year didn't matter, right? Oh, it's like swinging for a knockout punch and we're doing a 12-round fight, so I don't care. Good for you, I guess, for going in it. That game yesterday in particular felt like a team that was like, we're going to be the team that gets rid of you forever. And they were like trying really. And in that case, I think a lot of hits ended up being dirty as a result of that. But to your overall point, are teams tougher in the trenches, more physical than the Chiefs? Yeah, for years. And honestly, probably not a staple of an Andy Reid-led team in general. And it doesn't bother me usually because they don't need to be the more physical team. They've got to be the more adept team. And because they're a team that just makes mistakes after mistakes after mistakes this year, they don't get to just be the, oh, we run crisp, clean offense. You can try to be the bully all you want. Yeah, they beat them up. They rattled them. They beat them up. And they're not the first team to do it. You're right. And it seems like it's getting worse over the last couple of years. But some of that is they just need more talent. It's not like they're a more physical team of undying support. They were really good defense last year, and Spags get some teams. But they don't win in the trenches in the way you want, and they don't have guys who come in hitting people hard, getting big hits, knocking the ball free.
I'm not saying
Worthy doesn't fight back for the ball.
Yeah. There are plenty of guys on that roster that are giving max effort and fighting their ass off and will continue to. Okay. Yeah. This is not suggesting the entire team doesn't give a, you know what. But at the same time, I do wonder when you win as much as they have, now you're facing all these teams that are just, it sounds cliche, but like there is something to teams are hungrier than you are to taste what it's like to be at the top of the mountain. And I think that is happening. Now, the Chiefs didn't play the Patriots this year, but I think that's very evident when you watch the Patriots play, when you watch the Buffalo Bills play, certainly when you watch some of these teams that have not been there before, hoisting the Lombardi Trophy, winning their division. I don't think you can replace and match sometimes the intensity that those teams are going to bring to you when you're just worn out and when you're, as you said, just not as good as them anymore.
And they're trying to land the final blow. The more frustrating part, I guess, on this season is for like 3 weeks in a row, you are on your deathbed. You don't have a fight now? Now? You look like the weaker team now? Not a great time when you're like, up against it. They were up 13-3, and then they just let a team march down the field before half, bully them, take the ball back at half, bully them again. That was my issue. It's like, when in the season you don't have the fight? Because again, I don't think Andy Reid runs an overly physical team. I don't think he ever has. I think Andy Reid is a precision guy. I think Andy likes a finely tuned machine that all the little gears and cogs all work in place. He doesn't feel like he needs to beat you up in order to win a football game. Harbaugh's teams typically do. He likes to just punch you in the mouth. We play old football. We punch you in the mouth.
Yeah, that's his style.
And that's not Andy's style, and it never has been. But when you're not winning, it's like, show some fight. A little push. That's why people like Trey Smith or Josh Simmons.
Yeah, like someone
and shove them around a little bit. I like a little fight. Travis is kind of a fighter.
Yeah,
like
somebody texted in and said they totally disagree. They were hitting Houston hard last week. Yeah, last week.
On defense they were.
Yeah, last week they were, but they lost that game, and then so then you follow it up with this performance. I guess what I'm saying is, like, at some point you just you I don't want to say you quit. I don't think they quit yesterday. I just think, how much more do you got left in the tank when you know that your odds of making the playoffs aren't very high, when you've been playing all these games year after year? The Chargers, you know, quote unquote, were the hungrier team yesterday. They wanted to be the team to end this current run officially. And they did. They were the team. It sucks. It was against a division team. Not, you know, it was the Chargers. They were the team that ended your current run.
Yep.
And hopefully you start a new one I keep saying people don't like it. A couple years. I don't think it's next year.
By the way, do you think it's funny that a bunch of teams are going to all try to take credit for ending the Chiefs run? Chargers.
Well, the Eagles are the one that, let's be real, and I get it. As much as I can't stand Philadelphia. A lot of things about Philadelphia. The Eagles are the team that probably is the answer to
but
that.
But here's the list of teams that are going to try
to take credit. It was in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Here's the teams that are going to try to take credit for it. Eagles, one. Chargers, absolutely. Broncos. These are the...
Yeah. Houston.
The Chargers beat the Chiefs twice in a calendar year.
They're all... They're all lining up being like, no, it was us that got rid of them. Yeah. At least those four. Houston and Buffalo, maybe. Yeah. But Buffalo can't really try to take that crown because they've lost them too many times in the playoffs.
I don't know.
They can't... Unless they win the Super Bowl, they can't say... We took down the Chiefs. If they win the Super Bowl, they might be able to try to reclaim the title. Dallas, NFC team, doesn't exactly work that way. Probably just those four. It's probably those four that are going to try to, like, have the argument.
There
over
was a moment, I think it was at the beginning of the fourth quarter, maybe, or maybe halfway through, where I was reminded of the Sean Payton quote coming out of halftime, where he said, I think you guys remember that, he's like, hey, man, you know, we're dealing with a team that's good in the first half. You know, this is a first half team. And it made me think just... After what happened in the Dallas game and the Houston game and this one, it just feels like those comments are really reigning true where, hey, they got off to a great start against Dallas. I mean, you get the pick, you get the touchdown, you end up down at halftime, and you just couldn't quite figure it out in the second half and couldn't get going. It's not that they don't make adjustments. It's just whatever they're doing, it's not working at all, and it feels like it falls apart where they go spans in the second half of games in particular. They can't do anything.
Yeah, the knockout blow, the killer instinct, whatever, how you ever want to phrase it, does not exist in 2025. And there's a lot of reasons, as we've already highlighted for weeks now, that hasn't happened this year. But they don't have that aspect to them. It didn't, I should say. I should use past tense because the season is over as far as we're all concerned. So that's a big problem with this entire situation.
We thought their season was over anyway. Obviously, it's officially over. They got eliminated from the playoffs on December 14th after going to the Super Bowl six of the last 7 years. That is shocking, no doubt. If we had to do like a word cloud and superlatives or whatever else, and I made you choose like 3 to 5 words that wrapped up the Chiefs season and how you felt about it in the end, let's take out Mahomes' injury for now because it was over before Mahomes got hurt. You and I agree. It just officially ended yesterday and then ended in even worse fashion because of it. What are the things that you're like, okay, like...
Yeah, stale.
Offense.
Big bubble cloud or there, whatever you want to call
That's right in the middle. Yeah. Stale. Yeah.
That would describe the offense.
Offensive line has got to be some part of the bubble when the season all... Because it was weird all year. Missing their left tackle for part of it, then the injuries piled up, all this other stuff to go
stale,
in there.
Stale, pass rush,
pass rush. That's got to be, honestly, maybe that's discipline. Discipline. Penalties.
Those are the three that come to mind immediately.
Execution. I mean, you can go back. Not
necessarily. That's more than one word. We need words.
Why I said word cloud. They're all connected. Do you think I'm allowed to just search hashtag Chiefs and do a word cloud and see the things that are tweeted about the
most?
I
don't know if you want to do that.
Because Mahomes is probably one, and then all the other stuff. Penalties have got to be a part of the story. Discipline have got to be a part of the story. Those are connected, obviously. Pass rush is certainly in there, but stale is probably the most prevailing thing. We were talking about it earlier.
Oh, you know, and another word? Old.
Old. Yeah, there you go.
And it's weird. I know you'll look across the roster and you'll say their actually average age is not that old, because it's not. Average age is not bad, but the key spots, the guys you count on, old.
I can't get past that their single biggest problem is that they became the most predictable offense in the NFL. Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes ran the most predictable offense in football. How the hell did you let yourself become that? Don't make me go back and watch 18 and 19 and wonder what happened. If you then, at the beginning of this dynasty, had convinced me that this is what this offense would look like now, I'm like, are you kidding? You turn Mahomes
you ask
into
what happened?
You made him into Alex Smith in 6 years. What the hell happened here?
Yeah, it's been
and a worse version. The Alex Smith-led dink and dunk offense looked better than this one.
Yeah, it's been a... we've already discussed the 8-year run that they've been on. And sometimes, you know, you just fall off a cliff. Does it slowly get you? I think there's an argument. Some would say, like, this just all happened out of nowhere, fell off a cliff. Look, hindsight, there were probably warning signs along the way. But again, after you go to three straight Super Bowls, you're not going
to
make, you know, wholesale changes after going to three straight Super Bowls. I don't know if any organization would. I don't blame them for it. We can say it was incorrect. That's true. But I don't blame them after going to the Super Bowl last year for not changing up the coaching staff or something like that. I get why they didn't. It was clearly the wrong path. They believed, as you highlighted earlier, Cody, that, you know, eventually Rice, Worthy, Brown in this offense, look out, here we go, high-flying offense, good to go. And that was never the case. We were wrong about it. They were clearly wrong about how they evaluated that. And you say, okay, well, then what's the consequence of that? I think there will be changes. Some have to happen with the roster. Some might happen with the coaching staff. I don't know. I don't think you're going to get the change that the majority of at least social media wants, which is the Matt Nagy part of it, unless he gets a coaching job. But, you know, Dave Tobe, my goodness.
I mean, I don't know how his job would be
safe. That has to be optional.
I'm not even trying to be rude. I just don't know. Like,
it feels like it has to be.
You got to have a long meeting at the very least.
The kicking game was bad. Return game and return coverage, it's a flag every damn time. Just over and over. I mean, at some point, you have to have some accountability with somebody on your staff here. And Dave Tobe seems way more likely that he would get fired than a Matt Nagy, by the way.
This is where we're at, guys. From the 515.
Oh, boy.
May the Chiefs please, please find the next Mike Allstott and revive the fullback and give old Pat a break.
When they had the fullback part of the offense, it was their best offense.
But, this is what's so crazy about it. It's like, of all the things in offense, them not running the ball bothers me the least. I just want them to have somebody who's good when they attempt to run the ball. I want him to be tempted by the
2.4 yards a carry yesterday. Something along those lines.
Look. Yeah. We don't have to pull up the stats because I can just tell you how bad they were.
Just off the eye test, yeah.
Did the stats help you? Did the stats help you know that the running game's not been good? Or do you just know it? Because we all watched it this year. And look, some of it is Patrick Mahomes, and I just think the style of offense and everything else in between there.
I think
it was a lost season anyway. I think what's so weird about it is...
Yeah, you do.
This
you
is
do.
Still what bothers me so much about this year. They've had a massive failure every year. They're worse on defense, worse on offense, predictable, stale, all these things we just put into our word cloud that we were getting in here. It defies some logic. This is a nearly identical roster to a team that went 15-2. How can a 15-2 team who went to the Super Bowl last year turn into the least clutch team of all time in a calendar year? This is a team that went to the Super Bowl 5 times in the last 6 years. And now they just don't know how to, like, operate in the final 2 minutes of a football game? That's what I don't understand. How do they lose their composure? That part will never cease to amaze me. Players getting old, all this other stuff, that makes sense. How does a team lose its entire composure knowing the experience and skill set and players they have in house? It doesn't. That part will never make sense.
Well, a lot of it, I think, is, again, the coaching part of it with the offense getting stale. The other part is Patrick Mahomes was able to bail you out so many times. And this year, for a variety of reasons, he wasn't.
He's failed in some big moments.
You know?
Yesterday.
He's made a lot of mistakes in the red zone, directly costing them points or leading to points. The Jacksonville Jaguars game, the pick six, as we all know. So, the bailout stuff that he was able to do to mask some of the issues, they weren't able to do that this year. They have to be just a better all around football team moving forward when they retool this whole thing beyond 2026. They just have to be a better all around team and not like Patrick Mahomes. I still think there will be plenty throughout the rest of his career where he makes plays and bails out a football team. But it cannot be something where you're reliant and waiting for that to happen. And That's the big shift as well, I think, moving forward. Like your team had deficiencies. He masked a lot of them, and
he's not masking them anymore.
You paid the price in a big way for it this year.
The leading rusher right now, by the way, Kareem Hunt has 557 yards.
And you know what makes, I think, them believe that they've got a good running game? I think yesterday, Kevin Harlan said it. Kareem Hunt is the number one back in the league in third and short or fourth and short or whatever it is. Hey, you know what? We have a guy that can execute in those third and short.
And they were bad in short yardage
for
years.
I think they're convinced. I think they kind of convinced themselves. You might think, man, if Kareem Hunt is this type of back, then they must actually be okay. If you look at the numbers, it's really not that good. If not, they're bottom. Are they bottom five?
Oh, they're terrible. Then? Yes, absolutely. Without even looking, yes. If Kareem Hunt was only on the roster, to score in the, because he has 8 touchdowns on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
If Kareem Hunt was only on the roster to get 3rd and 4th and 1 and 2,
fine,
and to get in the end zone, I wouldn't care. Our thing was never that Kareem Hunt couldn't exist on this roster. It's that the second you signed Kareem Hunt, you had given up on improving the running back position and chose not to at all. And Alex and I, and look, it's certainly not all of you on the text line, so I guess I'm sorry to lump you all in for a minute. Alex and I spent a big chunk of the show trying to tell you how drafting a 7th-round running back is not investing in running back. That was not an attempt at investing in running back. You can't take your last pick and the last round of the draft and just keep your fingers crossed that you've solved running back. They don't even play the guy. He has 32 carries on the year, and 15 of them came in a game in which they were up on the Raiders 31-0. And 5 of them came in this game when they were so desperate for any kind of kick, and they still won't even use him. Did you notice of all the carries he got in this game, every single one was a pitch? Is there some reason why you're unwilling to give Breshard Smith an actual real touch?
A handoff?
A handoff through a gap on the offensive line under center. That's my goal. You know what? I've got an early New Year's resolution. For the next 2 weeks, all I want for Christmas or all I want for the end of the year is one handoff under a center between a gap to Breshard Smith.
Yeah, they got 3 games.
Just one.
They got 3 games for it.
I do think, and going back to what you guys said, like, I think, Gold, you're the one that mentioned, just, and you both just ran through the teams. If you look at, what is it, the top 6 teams in each conference.
True, every single playoff team.
All of them.
Right now.
All of them have a running back that they dedicated at the very least in the 4th round. At the very latest in the 4th round.
Well, and it's just not even where they were, just where they were drafted. That's also true. But just look, whether it's one individual back or a 1-2 punch.
A duo, yeah.
They all have a legit running game that has explosiveness to it. And we can go through every team again if you want. You will be amazed. It's not that complicated. Yes, teams have closed the gap. Duh, they figured the Chiefs out. The Chiefs haven't figured out the too high safety stuff. The league is cyclical. It's an amazing thing. Yeah. We'll be talking for 5 years at a time, like how this is such an advantage, and then it reverts back. Remember, the running backs matter again kind of thing, right? I'm not saying they need to go sign a running back to a 4-year deal worth $80 million. There's a balance here, okay?
Draft one.
You know, draft one in particular. But you look at Chicago. One, they also have a very good offensive mind in Ben Johnson. But Menungai and Swift, that 1-2 punch, they're trying to replicate what they're doing in Detroit with Gibbs and Montgomery. The Eagles have Saquon. The Bucks have Bucky Irving and Rashad White and Sean Tucker. The Patriots have Travion Henderson. You know, the Chargers have Amarian Hampton, who's been hurt, but he's back. But prior to that, they brought in Najee Harris to be part of the mix. That failed, but certainly they at least had resources. The Broncos, J.K. Dobbins was good till he got hurt. R.J. Harvey, they drafted him. They got a nice little backfield in Denver. We can go through every single team other than maybe Pittsburgh and say they got a legit running game going right now.
Yeah, they just
Jalen Warren, fun. You know,
from the 913, they were counting on Pacheco. But again,
sure.
Where was Pacheco picked again?
Again, left.
It worked out, but he was 7th round. So I think that almost convinced them, just the same as it was that Kareem Hunt could be their guy because he was good. He's been good on 3rd and short. Well, hey, Pacheco worked out, so why can't we do it again? They're relying on old habits, just like they go on, they bring back Mecole Hardman. They go out and they revisit players who they previously have had, at least from my perspective, more than any other team in the league, because it worked once. Surely it has to again, when that's not always the case.
Worked out is a delusion. The Chiefs have not attempted to have a good running back ever since Jamal Charles. That's it. They gave up. Right now, you're like, Pacheco worked out for a 7th-round pick, I guess. He's no better than Spencer Ware was.
He was never a top 10.
He's no better than Spencer Ware was for 2 years. Or sure, Kendrick West, a different 7th-round pick and an undrafted running back. Mm-hmm. Maybe stop, except for the one time they took a 1st-round pick and Clyde Edwards-Helaire bombed it so bad that they're going to be afraid to do it again forever. So it's like,
someone on the text line said their only option to your argument was trading for Breece Hall. Do you think wasting a 3rd was worth it or a fumble of each? I'm still not going to change my opinion on that. I actually think the evidence now looks even stronger why it's good. Thank goodness they didn't trade for Breece Hall. He was a rental. Could you imagine you would have given up a 3rd-round pick for this?
Pay him and
for this?
Yeah. This team shouldn't have given up a 3rd-round pick.
We've been sitting here and saying, wow, good thing they traded for Breece Hall. 3rd-round pick, and for what? Their quarterback's hurt now. You're eliminated from the postseason. Maybe you would have made it an extra week or two or something like that. I know we can't predict every single result, what it would have been if they had Breece Hall. And I'm by all means interested in the offseason in Breece Hall, but not giving up the 3rd-round pick at the time. In my opinion, I actually feel stronger about why I'm glad they didn't trade for him than I ever had.
In a lost year, sure.
All right, up next, Andy Reid, exclusively here on 96.5 The Fan. He will definitely be asked about Patrick Mahomes now that we know for sure. He is expected to have surgery for a torn ACL. Plus, what does the next 3 weeks look like for the Chiefs?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.